So I want to encourage you guys as we dive into God's word this morning. As we begin a new year, just excited about what God is going to do. As we look back on the old year, we can just think about some of the challenges that we certainly had and some of the feelings and some of the struggles that we went through. And I want to just begin before we dive in with the word of prayer. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, today for your word. I want to thank you, dear God, that you are a God who is able to bring us through, Lord, the challenges of the day, Lord, no matter what they are. And I just want to ask that you would just work in us, Lord, in a powerful way through your word. Father, help us to partner with your spirit, Lord, to grow and to be able to be more equipped, Lord, to deal with the issues of our day and the struggles that we face. And Lord, I just want to ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you guys have your Bibles, go to Hebrews 3. We're going to look at a couple of things. And I want to share with you guys the title of our series, you know, as we kind of dive in to this new series in January, is called Running Well and Finishing Strong, practices that strengthen us up for the journey. And I want to share with you this week, Lord willing, or between now and next week, you'll be getting a copy of a little booklet that's called Going the Distance, Practices to Strengthen Your Faith. And I'll just show that on the screen. You guys can see that. And I hope you guys will have a chance to read that. And I want to encourage you as well, if you did not get a copy of our devotional, it's called God is With You Every Day, in the spirit of our last message of the year, God with Us. It's a 365-day devotional written by Max Lucado, who is just a prolific author and just a great, encouraging person. So I want to encourage you just to let us know at church. We're going to be delivering and mailing some of those out to you as well to better equip you for your year ahead. As we kind of dive into God's word, I just want to move on down to the very next slide. I'm just going to try, if you guys can just mute yourselves there, that would kind of be helpful to us as we dig into God's word. But as we look at the screen today, I'm sure you can imagine these two pictures, the one on the lower right of the gentleman just kind of holding his head and holding his face. And I know that's been me sometimes this year as we just try to struggle through the pandemic and all the fallout and all the issues that we face that come down with it. The gentleman at the top, you can see, has just kind of given up. He was obviously jogging around the track and it appeared to be too much. And he just kind of threw in the sponge and you see him there laying on the track. So kind of an interesting scenario. Cindy is indicating to me that my PowerPoint is not running right now. Let me see if that changes for a second. And the eternal truth that I want to share with you is that there, as we think about dealing with the issues of our day, that greater engagement with God results in greater spiritual fitness. And what I want you to understand is as we dig into this, is that the intentional practice of spiritual disciplines and practices that orient us toward God, allow his spirit and his grace to work in us, cultivating the spirit's qualities in us to help us on our spiritual journey. The passage of scripture, and I want to focus on this first, and I called it the goals. And as you look at this issue of the goal, what I want you guys to understand and think about, and Apostle Paul talks about this issue, and you guys can see it. It says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, the time of my departure at his hand. And the goal that Paul had is that he would be able to fight the good fight spiritually, to have finished the race and to have kept the faith. And he says, finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. And I want to just stop for a second and just kind of think about what's going on. And if you guys go on down to the next screen, down, if you would, to the goals, you guys can see that the goals that Paul accomplished are as follows. He was able to live out a life of service to God. and a life of service to others. And I get that from that phrase. He says, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. And that was an Old Testament sacrifice in which, you know, we would take wine or they would take a beverage and they would pour it out as an offering unto God. And Paul says his very life, the very breath and fabric of his life was poured out in that same way. And he accomplished that life of service to God, despite all the obstacles and all the issues that he faced. The second thing that he talks about is he says about fighting the good fight and finishing the race. And I know we've all felt like we've been in a battle these last couple of years, greater than one we probably ever faced, you know, with the illness, with the illness of COVID, with the issues that have fallen out from that, but it's been a tremendous, tremendous struggle. And what I want to share with you is that, you know, as we stop and we see this fighting this good fight and finishing the race, Paul was able to accomplish that in the power of the Holy Spirit, despite all the obstacles. God grew him, God equipped him. And I want you to write down this word, big word for us this year, is that we need to be better equipped. And notice Paul says next, he says he kept the faith. And I want to throw this out, and this is a challenge to me and to others, even during this time. So many people have wondered and asked, you know, what is God doing? They've almost lost faith in him. They've kind of become just really fragile in their faith and in their walk with God, just wondering what's going on. But Paul said, despite all that, I've kept the faith. And finally, he says, you know, I've received a crown from God. I've got that crown of righteousness for those who have been faithful to him during their lifetime. And that's certainly the goal that we want to live with, our life focused on those things, that our life is a life of service to God and others, that we've fought the race, fought the fight, finished the race, we've kept the faith, and we've received a crown from God. Now, here's the issue. That sounds like that wouldn't be too hard, but there are some incredible challenges. And Dial, if you just slide on down for a second, you can see some of that. Notice the challenges. And I just want to remind us in Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll look at this first verse. Look what Paul says. He says, a lot of times people think Paul is the author of Hebrews. It could have been Barnabas. It could have been someone else. It looks Pauline in some ways, but maybe not in others. So the author of Hebrews, he says these things. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, others that have gone before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And what I want to mention, by the way, the first challenge that we wrestle with in our lives, whether it's a new year or an old year, is this issue of sin, this issue of rebellion. And I kind of picked this picture. You see this, this man in the picture, he's just kind of shaking his fist at God saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I want to encourage us, even in this day, that that is the thing that we need to put aside. And if we're trying to run a race and trying to be who God wants us to be and finish well and fight the good fight, the issues of sin, especially our selfishness and all those things, are just going to be a burden. They're going to weigh us down and cause us to not be able to run well and to finish the race that God wants us to do. Notice, by the way, the word he says in this text, he says, the sin that so easily ensnares us. And the idea he gets across here is that, you know, sin is like this, it's like a spider web. You know, when you struggle against it, it just kind of keeps wrapping around you. And just a little bit of it is enough to taint and to jade your life and my life. So one of the big challenges is surely sin. The second one, as we go down and down, we'll just slide it down for us. The second challenge that we all face, it is just the challenge of the struggle, the strength or having the strength or the lack of strength, the perseverance to keep on going. We deal with failure. We deal with loneliness. We deal with discouragement. And again, all these things have been magnified in our lives the last few years. And look what he says. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. We mentioned the sin part up front, but just think about these weights, the struggle, just to continue fighting to do things. You know, even us as a church, it takes us so much more energy and effort to do so much less than we've done in the past. We've had to do things with technology and struggle even today with someone who's trying to hack into the system, dealing with all these crazy things. It's just a burden. It just slows us down. It tires us out. It discourages us. It frustrates us. And he says, we just got to put that aside and try to walk in God's power. And we'll talk in a few minutes about how we can better do that. I want to slide down to the next slide, you know, as we think about that. And by the way, I want us to understand this is not a new thing. The Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, we are hard pressed on every side. And I know that you all are probably feeling that even right now, thinking about the pressures of what you need to get done. The fact that things still have to get done despite all the complexities of doing them in this environment that we live in. The word there in the Greek language is this word philipsis, and it has this idea of just being crushed in and pressed together on every side. He says, but yet we're not crushed. We are perplexed. And that certainly is a good word for us today. You know, we're wrestling, trying to figure it all out. But look what he says. But we're not in despair because we know God's in control and he has a plan. You know, we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken by God. We're struck down by some, but we're not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. What he's trying to say here is that what we're going through, the sufferings we go through, are emulative of what Jesus went through. And as his people, those should not be a surprise to us, but they certainly are a big challenge. So he says, we got to put aside sin. We got to put aside these things and focus on the one who can get us through, and that's the Lord. And that takes us to our next slide. And Dial, if you would just share that with us. You know, the challenge, and I use the word sight. And notice what he says here. He says, you know, we put away all these other things, is what he said in the earlier verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1. But now he says, notice he says these words, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I want to just stop for a second. And notice this key thing, right? He says, lay aside the weight and every sin that so easily ensnares us and run the race that's set before us. And notice how he directs us to run the race. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, not looking at all the mess around us. And I know we all can fall into that trap, right? Where we just continue to look at all the bad things that are going on. You know, we get upset every time we read a new thing. Well, this happened and this happened and this person died and this went on. But he says, don't do that. Look to Christ instead. And I want to encourage us. That's one of these challenges that we can overcome. And that challenge is overcome by us being more equipped in who the Lord wants us to be and equipped with his spirit and his power and his word and his perspective on life. And look what he says, and I just figured up in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says this. He says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And I know we are all sight walkers very, very much, but we need to walk just trusting that God's going to get us through. We don't always know how or know why, but we know if we follow what he says, he will bring us through and he'll accomplish his will in our lives. So I want to take us down to the third point in our outline, and we'll celebrate the Lord's table too in just a few minutes. But this idea of training, and this is what I want us to kind of get us focused on. How do we go the distance? How do we run well and finish strong? And there's some things that we can do. God promises in his word in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he says that he is going to complete the work that he has begun in us. He promises a lot of things in scripture. So he's going to do that. It's not really something that we're going to do. We're not going to do it in our own strength. But what God does want us to do is to partner with him and to practice the spiritual disciplines that are going to give us the ability to make it through challenging days like today. And I want to just take a second and I'm going to talk a little bit about what are spiritual disciplines. And they're really practices, exercises that we do spiritually that give us the ability to go on and to live the Christian life, to run the race to completion, to do it in a way that brings glory to God. That's what God wants us to do. And just by definition, these disciplines or these exercises are where we partner with God's Holy Spirit now. And I want to throw this out. We don't have to wait till we die to interact with God's Spirit, because he's in us and he's doing something in us right now. The second thing is that these practices are very purposeful, and they promote the growth of the characteristics produced by the Holy Spirit. We're familiar with Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, patience, self-control. Those are a work of the Spirit. But how do I help the Spirit to bring about those things in us? How do I help him to bring to the mind the things that I need to know from his word? And I want to throw this out as we think about these practices, by the way, that we all can do in some fashion. They require intentional activity. And the point, as we go into January, you know, everyone's thinking about all the things that we do when a new year comes. Hey, I need to lose weight. Hey, I need to be in better shape. I need to exercise. I need to take better care of my finances. You know, I need to get this area of my life in order. And in order to do those things, we have to practice some intentional things. We have to do things intentionally. No one's going to get fit by watching videos. No one's going to get, you know, better financially unless they deal with some of the issues. And no one's going to grow spiritually and be better equipped by God unless we begin to do some of the things that God's given us and use the tools to help us to grow. The final thing about these disciplines is that they point or they orient us toward God and purposefully engage us with him so that his Spirit can work in us. And I want to throw this out. The more time that each of us can spend with God this year is going to help us to be more equipped to deal with the issues of life. And I mean that in a personal one-on-one way, as well in a corporate worship way. The more I spend time with God, and that's by the way, that's why he created me, to be in fellowship, close, intimate relationship with him. He created me to abide in him. In fact, in John 15, remember John said that if we abide in him, that we have this power and this strength to accomplish things. And if we don't abide in him, we can't do anything. And these spiritual disciplines help us to do that, to stay close to the Lord. And we need to work on those things. So I want to go down to the next slide and kind of look at some scripture that kind of details that out for us this morning. You know, as we think about these foundations, by the way, one thing I want to encourage you with is these things are a means to an end of spiritual growth, not the end in themselves. So just me reading my Bible is not the end in itself, but reading my Bible so I know the God of the Bible, so I have the confidence of the God of the Bible. That's the goal. And look what he says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. He kind of gives us this idea of the partnership. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that gives us that idea that there's an element that we have to work on and work out in our lives. But then notice what he says. He says, but it is God who works in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. So as I try to work it out and I wrestle with these issues in the power of the Spirit, God's the one who brings about that change in my life. But it takes me interacting with God in order to make that happen. Notice Ephesians chapter 4, and this is a great passage on spiritual gifts, but he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, look what it says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So there's two things going on. Like, God's given gifted people to help us to be equipped as we interact with him. We'll go down to the next slide. Notice the next thing. And this is so important for us. Because this doesn't come naturally to us. And the thing that we need to do in order to accomplish and to partake in these spiritual practices is determination. And notice as Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and by the way, there's just so many scriptures that deal with this picture of running a race or wrestling or fighting a battle that analogize to the Christian life. So many pictorial examples of that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is a big one. But notice what Paul says about determination. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run. In other words, everybody's running, everybody's trying at some level, but he says, but only one receives the prize. And look what the word he says is, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And I want to encourage us, you know, we need this determination that we're going to seek God and we're going to try to grow. And we're going to try to make things better and make things different. We're going to be a part of that process of God equipping us in this new year. But we have to go after it. It takes some determination. You know, we don't all wake up and jump up saying, yeah, I can't wait to read, or I can't wait to pray, or I can't wait to do these other disciplines. So Dal, scroll down just a little more. And that theme or that thought, by the way, not just is from Apostle Paul, but look at for 2 Peter. Peter writes this, he says, but also for this very reason, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to stop there. Notice what he says, do this giving all diligence. This is something that we have to strive toward, work at, you know, and commit ourselves to. And just because we failed today doesn't mean we have to fail tomorrow. We can pick up the ball and go on and determine ourselves that we're gonna build that relationship with God and use the tools that he's given us to equip us and help us to go the distance. We're going to keep striving day by day. Just because we lose the game today doesn't mean quit. We keep on going. And I want to just encourage you, look at verse 9. He says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. In other words, what he's trying to say here is that if we're not moving forward, we are really, really short-sighted. If we're not trying day in and day out to grow, we're so short-sighted, it's not going to happen on its own. It's not going to happen by osmosis. It's not just going to, you know, fall upon us. It's something that we work at, and God works through the pain and the suffering and the difficulty and the challenges to make us who he wants to be. And look what he says again. He says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage us, let's work at this. Let's be determined that we're going to fight on and we're going to run on and we're going to accomplish God's purpose in our lives. Dal, you would just slide down to the next slide. Notice the next thing that he says as we look at this, and it kind of brings up our point. We kind of define things. We kind of look at this issue of determination. Now we got to look at this issue of discipline and the disciplines. And look what he says. He says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air. And what he's trying to say here is this, you know, in the picture Paul is using, and Paul is probably looking at this picture of a Greek Olympic type athlete, or there's another games in the Greek continent, or the Greek region of the country, and a Greek region of the world, and it was called the Isthmus Games. And again, there was these athletes all over the Grecian kingdom that would train and that would be temperate, or they would discipline themselves in order to be fit to compete in the events that they competed in. You know, we know this, right? Someone who's going to be a weightlifter, a power lifter, can't just immediately go pick up 500 pounds. It takes an intense amount of training. Likewise, an athlete who's going to run a great distance can't just go do nothing forever and then go out and run a marathon or run 10,000 meters or do any of those things. It's just impossible. In fact, it's kind of interesting by way of illustration, you know, the word marathon, it comes from this context of these Greek athletes. And the person who ran the first marathon was a soldier, and he came to report back to his general what was taking place and how they were being overcome and overwhelmed by the enemy. And after he ran the 27 miles to get back to his general to let him know what was going on, that runner died. He wasn't really prepared to do that kind of distance. Athletes today can only do that with a significant amount of training. There's many plans out, even on the internet as a runner, that you'll see. It takes at least 12 or 13 weeks of consistent discipline to be able to run a marathon or a half marathon. Likewise, to lift heavy weights or to do anything in the athletic realm, it takes that kind of training. It takes that kind of training to be a good student. It takes that kind of training to do many of the jobs and things that we need to do to be develop and to hone our skills. And this is what Paul says, we need to practice these disciplines. And that is so true spiritually as well. And notice as we come down, and I'll take us down to the next picture. Look at letter D. Again, as we think about these disciplines, Paul wrote this to Timothy and he says, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you carefully follow. And I want to encourage you, that's certainly what I want to be, as a good minister, a good pastor. I want us to encourage you, this is what we all need to do. We need to develop these disciplines in our lives, these spiritual disciplines, so that we can grow and we can be equipped, so that we don't freak out, we don't give up, we do finish the race, we run well, despite all the obstacles that we face in this Christian life. And then just go on down, if you would dial to the last slide. And this is just so critical. And this points at us as leaders. And he just says, Paul says these words, he says, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. You know, I want to encourage all of us as leaders, deacons, you know, pastors, ministers in every way, you know, God wants us to do the things that we need to do in order to accomplish his purpose in our lives. We need to practice the discipline, but we need to do it ourselves first. And, you know, again, I want to encourage you guys to have that type of walk with the Lord, that type of quiet time, that type of prayer life. And we're going to look into these things in the next 4 weeks in the month of January, because it isn't just as simple as sometimes we make it seem. And Dow, just come on down to the next slide, if you would. And I want to ask this question as we kind of wrap this up this morning. So what about us? You know, are we practicing these disciplines of prayer, of being in God's word, of being in corporate worship, of fellowshipping, of serving? Of practicing hospitality? Are we doing those kind of things? And we're going to focus on them in the weeks coming up. And I just want to challenge you, the answer for every one of us probably is not enough. If you felt the overwhelmingness of the climate that we've experienced these last couple of years, and if you struggled at times, there's ways that we can help to be better at that in the future. We can work on these spiritual disciplines so that we can grow. And I want to just kind of lay out for you what we're going to look at in the next couple of weeks. How can I grow? And I encourage you to be online with us each week. And if not, watch it, you know, on YouTube. We'll post this out on YouTube later in the week. But there's some key disciplines that we all need to practice. And we're going to cover these. And the first one next week we'll look at is called core disciplines. And that's, we need to have an engagement with God's word. We need to be in prayer, and we need to be a part of corporate worship somehow. You know, and that can be in small groups at times, and that can be in big groups, but those are key disciplines for us to keep us focused, to keep us encouraged. Then we need to think about some personal disciplines, and we'll look at those as well. Things like having some time alone, solitude, fasting, not just from food, but some things that to just maybe get in the way of our lives that kind of detract our focus and, you know, allow our flesh to kind of take over. We need to be practicing some relational disciplines. That'll be the third week out. And what are some of those things, relational disciplines? Things like hospitality, things like encouragement of each other. We'll work on that and talk about that. And finally, we're going to put it all together and we're going to try to give you some good tools that will just help you in the days ahead to really, really grow. And to really, really be able to run the race, run well, and finish strong. and hope that that will help you. So we're going to cancel our shared dial and bring everybody back up on the screen. And I hope that that gives you guys some a direction that we're going to go, and we're going to try to just encourage you and with a whole bunch of resources coming up. So you'll be finding some things by your door or in your mailbox that'll encourage you hopefully greatly in the weeks and the days ahead. And I also encourage you, email us, chat with us, text us of some things that maybe you found to be helpful or some other things that you find that you might want to share with us too, so that we can really be iron sharpening iron and grow the body of Christ. So at this time, I'm just going to pray, and we'll give you guys a minute to prepare your elements for the Lord's table. And we are going to celebrate our first communion and Lord's table of the new year together. So let's just take a minute to pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that in you, in your power, as we practice these disciplines, Lord, that we can indeed overcome, Lord, sin and all the other struggles and discouragements and failures that just weigh us down and keep us from accomplishing what you want to have happen in our lives. And I just want to pray, Lord, that you would just work in us now, Lord, in a mighty way. Thank you, Father, for your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd even take some of the tools that we have out already, that they would be encouraging, Lord, to each of us as we read them, as we meditate and think about them. Father, just help us to really grow, I pray. Help us to be determined to make that commitment that 2022 is going to be a year that we get better and that we grow, Lord, in your grace and knowledge. And Lord, I just pray that you would just be with us now as we go to your table this morning. And we want to just ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to move to our time of the Lord's table. So we'll give you just a moment to prepare your elements together. And we have them here at our house too. And if you don't have the perfect grape juice or the perfect matzah, that is more than okay. And we want you just to partake with some common bread and some element as well. And we are going to turn it over first as we just look at a scripture. And we can see Jonathan up there. Jonathan's going to pray for the bread, I believe. Right, Jonathan? But I just want to share with you Matthew chapter 26. You know, Jesus laid out the Lord's table. And it says that they were eating. Jesus took bread. He blessed and he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples. And he said, take, eat. This is my body. And I want to encourage you, as Jonathan just helps us to reflect on the fact that Jesus' body was broken, crucified, that we might have forgiveness of our sins. I just want to encourage you to just take a minute and listen in and have you all just take a moment to reflect on your walk with the Lord and your thanksgiving about what he's done for you as Jonathan prays and shares.
Well, let's pray. Oh, Lord, our God. How excellent is your name in all the heart. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing love that you shed you died on the cross for our sin. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this privilege. We thank you for your love, Father. Father, mighty God, as we gather this morning remotely and we're about to partake, you said, do this in remembrance of me. Father, mighty God, we pray that you help us that the true meaning of this moment would redraw in our life as we start a new year today, mighty God. Father, mighty God, we pray that you help us to share that love to our neighbors, to our enemies, across the world as you commanded for us. Father, mighty God, as we partake this morning, we pray that this bread that represents your body will be a blessing to our body and our soul. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jonathan. We appreciate that so very much. And I just want to ask you guys just to take the bread that you have in front of you today. And as we stop and we just think about just what Christ has done for us in dying for us, in allowing his body to be broken for us, even in just condescending, as we talked about a week ago in church, that he left heaven and his throne room to come down to this messy place on earth that he might save us. So let's just partake together, shall we? Just going to read the rest of that scripture, and it just says, then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this, my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. And I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until this day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Just stop and just imagine just for a second and think about the cup. But this cup is indeed, it says it's a new covenant. Remember, the old covenant was I had to obey the law completely to be in the right place with God, to have salvation, have relationship. And we all know that that was impossible. So Jesus shed his blood to create a new covenant, a new agreement that based on his shed blood and his righteousness being imparted to me, that I could have eternal life in a relationship with God forever. And that's what we celebrate when we think about this cup. So we're going to put the spotlight on Dennis Rothwell, and he's going to pray today for the cup.
Let us pray. Father God, we humbly come before your throne. We give praise and honor to you, Father, for all that you do for us. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for giving us the breath of life, Father. And most of all, we thank you for sending your son who died on the cross, who bled his blood for us, for our sins, and to cover our iniquities, Father. We give praise and honor to you for that, Father. But most importantly, Father, we thank you that Jesus rose from the dead. That gives meaning to all things, Father. And the promises that art that has taken place and the promises that are to come, Father. We thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for this time that you have commanded us to remember you, Father, because it's because of you, Father, that we're able to get through each pressing day, Father. And we're asking that you be with us for the upcoming year, for the remainder of our lives, Father, as you promised us you would be. But we know our promises are not here on earth, Father. Our promises are to be with you. And we look forward to that day. And in the meantime, Father, we will continue to do your work. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dennis. And we appreciate you, my brother. And at this time, we're going to partake together of the cup. And we'll just remove that spotlight there for a minute from Dennis. And just want you guys to let's partake together of that cup that represents the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that purchased our salvation. Well, we praise God. We're going to close with a quick prayer and give you a chance to kind of greet each other and be the body. So let's just pray. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, for who you are and what you've done. And thank you, Lord, just for, Father, your shed blood and your broken body, Lord, that gave us an opportunity to relate to your Father, Lord, who is our Father, and to give us eternal life. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would work in us. Father, help us to be determined to practice the disciplines more this year that we might know you more, that we might be more equipped, that we might be better servants, that we might really run well and finish strong and bring many others into the kingdom, I pray. Father, help us this week as we go out into our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and for some, even the uttermost parts of the earth. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would bless us, use us to be salt, to be light, to be hope, to be encouragement to others, Father, because we've been with you. not just on Sunday, that we've been with you each and every day as we meet with you. Help us, Lord, to do that. Make us faithful. Help us to grow. Help us to be brighter in our light and saltier in our salt in the days ahead. Father, just work in our hearts. Keep us encouraged. Help us to encourage each other, Lord. Lord, help us to fellowship even despite the barriers, Lord, of COVID-19. Help us to find ways to connect, Lord, with the technology, with something, Lord, that we can just be encouragers for each other now. Lord, we just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.